Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Some postseason recognition for a couple of Bills, courtesy of the Pro Football Writers Association. Tre'Davious White has been named to the Pro Football Writers All-NFL team. He was also selected as AP by the AP as a first-team All-Pro. He finished with 6 interceptions, tied for first in the NFL. He had 17 passes defense. Also, the Pro Football Writers All-Rookie Team and the Bills' Ed Oliver has been selected to that. Ed Oliver, the only Buffalo Bill on the All-Rookie Team, as selected by the Pro Football Writers Association. The San Francisco 49ers hook up with Green Bay in the NFC Championship on Sunday. The Green Bay had their worst loss of the season, 37-8 at San Francisco. And to be sure, Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers, is spending the early part of this week looking at more video of that game. They've already reviewed the game, obviously. After they lost to the 49ers, Packers won 5 straight to close out a 13-3 regular season and beat Seattle 28-23 in an NFC divisional round playoff game a couple of days ago. Kevin Stefanski has been given a 5-year contract to take over the Cleveland Browns. He introduced to the Cleveland media today. Stefanski, just 37 years old, spent 14 seasons as an assistant in Minnesota. He's never been a head coach at any level. He's being introduced at a news conference today at First Energy Stadium in Cleveland. Former UB assistant coach Bill Lazor is now the new offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears. He previously was offensive coordinator for the Dolphins for a couple of years and for the Cincinnati Bengals for a couple of years. Retired NFL receiver Chad Johnson has a tryout scheduled for next Monday with the XFL as a kicker. He's 42 years old. He has not played football since 2011. Made 6 Pro Bowls as a receiver. Wants to try his hand at kicking now. LSU quarterback Joe Burrow broke the NCAA single-season record for touchdown passes and touchdowns responsible for during LSU's 42-25 win over Clemson in the College Football National Championship yesterday. And the Sabres take on the Vegas Golden Knights tonight, 7 o'clock faceoff at KeyBank Center. That's the update from One Bills Live. John Murphy and Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio. Welcome back for the third and final hour of the show. We're going to talk a little bit of Kansas City Chiefs now. We are on the line with the man who is the lead Chiefs writer at SB Nation's Arrowhead Pride, the host of the Chiefs pre- and post-game shows on 610 Sports Radio, co-host of the Kansas City Morning Show podcast. Happy to have Pete Sweeney on the line with us. Pete, John Murphy, Steve Tasker here in Buffalo. Thank you very much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me on. I wish we were getting ready for a Chiefs-Bills game this weekend.
Really? You'd rather play the Bills as opposed to the Tennessee Titans? Is that right?
I just love Bills Mafia and everything that you guys bring to the table. I think that would have been fun. But, yeah, no, the Tennessee Titans, to me, probably are a better fit, at least going by the regular season, for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, how much angst was there last week when they fell behind so quickly, so early? Certainly, in my mind, even the first touchdown, even though it was a real offensive play and the Chiefs blew a coverage, the kind of fluky nature of the big lead that the Texans run out to, how much angst was there? I know the fans, you could hear them on the broadcast, kind of booed their own team. Did the Chiefs show up flat, or did they just get, or were they just the victims of some lucky breaks by the Texans?
I think there was a little bit of flatness there. I think you saw that in a number of the drop passes, Travis Kelce, DeMarcus Robinson among them. And when you're making silly mistakes like that, and you have a team like the Texans who did play well the previous week, they sort of just picked up where they left off. And you could feel it in Kansas City. We were turning to each other and we said, wow, after this entire season, you think, okay, this team finally is clicking on all cylinders at the right time, getting healthy at the right time, that you would have another game in Kansas City history where they would come out, lay an egg, season over. We really felt, and I did the pre- and post-game here locally, we felt we were getting ready for fire Andy Reid calls because, you know, people were going to be upset about Andy Reid and coming out and his team coming out like that. And then all of a sudden, you have the return and the rest is history with the Bill O'Brien decisions and Patrick Mahomes finally finding himself and able to to get five touchdowns in the game.
You know, Pete, my partner here, Steve, kind of dismisses the Houston Texans' early lead. But look, that was a 24-point lead. That wasn't 7-0 or 10-0. I think that was real, right? They started out great. They were in command of that game for at least the first quarter and a little bit into the second quarter, as short as that may seem. But that wasn't a fluke, I don't think, at that point, was it?
No. I mean, there were some mistakes and careless ones at that, but that's still a 24-0 lead in the NFL. So you are still up against trying to come back from it, albeit you did have three quarters. It was a little bit early. What I saw right in the middle of it there in the second quarter, though, for the first time all season, and we haven't really seen it, I would say, since week one, because Patrick Mahomes had his ankle injury, he reverted back to that 2018 version, and the offense came with him. They were no longer dropping passes. Travis Kelce was catching the football and becoming reliable. And if they can turn back to that 18 offense that was just rolling over teams, and you have the defensive and staff and the defense playing like that, I mean, I don't know if there's a team that's better than them left in the NFL playoffs.
You know, and I don't dispute that, Pete, but you look at that game last Sunday, and you look at the Chiefs trying to come back, and I thought when the Houston Texans didn't go for it on that fourth down at, what, the 13-yard line, and they were getting ready to go for it, they ran out of time, they couldn't get a play in, they kicked a field goal and went up 24-0 at that point. But it seemed to me something changed right there, right at that moment. Did you see it that way too?
Absolutely. They were up 21-0. Bill O'Brien has the offense on the field, and the play clock's running down, so they call a timeout, which makes sense. Okay, they want to have a good play for this. And then they opt to kick a field goal. So you're keeping the number of possessions still at three. I didn't understand why they did that, because that's a moment. If you go up 28-0 and it's four possessions, you're suddenly stepping on a team's throat. Yeah. Bill O'Brien was asked after the game, okay, well, why didn't you go for it? And he said, we didn't have a play we liked. To me, that's inexcusable. That's the type right. of comment that a guy that should be fired makes. Then you see, okay, the Chiefs get the 58-yard return from the rookie Hardman. They get a touchdown. And then on the following Texans possession, in their own territory, they go for this fake punt when they're still up pretty big in this game. Like, why not turn it to your defense at that point? And Dan Sorensen, the safety, the depth safety for the Chiefs, we call him Dirty Dan here, he's able to make the open field tackle. And then all of a sudden, Mahomes is back on the field with a short field, and then it's a 10-point game. So in the blink of an eye, you go from a 24-point lead to a 10-point lead. And everyone knows if it's a 10-point lead in the second quarter, you can come back from that. So, yes, I mean, I think Bill O'Brien played a huge role in the way the game flowed and the Chiefs eventually coming back.
And you talk about Dirty Dan Sorensen's play on that fake punt. It was a remarkable play, and if he doesn't get him, he's got the first down. I don't know why the Texans went for it, but Sorensen certainly played a major role in that Kansas City comeback, right?
Oh, yeah, and he was the guy who forced the fumble on the yep. kickoff later in the game. And that it's going to take depth players, because here you are, you know, injuries are 100% going to happen in the game of football. Juan Thornhill is lost for the year, and a guy like Dan Sorensen, who's been here for years, he's been on both ends of whether or not the Chiefs should cut him in training camp because he's making too much money. Fans have talked about that before, and here he is in a big game coming up huge for the Chiefs. This is a guy that you see at the practice facility studying the film each and every day. I would tend to think that maybe he knew something there, and that's why he was able to make that open field tackle.
Well, it, certainly hanging 51 points in three quarters of football, the Chiefs' offense continues to be the talk of the NFL. One of the things that hasn't been talked about much is how much better their defense has played in the last month and a half. What do you anticipate their plan is against one of the most unique offenses in the NFL, let alone in the playoffs?
Yeah, their coverage has been pretty good this year, so I think maybe they stack the box, get multiple guys up against Derrick Henry. Mike Pinnell was a midseason acquisition who has been really good for them. He's the type of big body that I think you're going to need up front there, and then you got to rely on Chris Jones. Chris Jones is so important for this team. He wasn't able to go last game because of the calf injury. He tried before the game. So the game time decision aspect of that makes you think that Jones will be in the mix, and then maybe you could leave fewer guys in the secondary because they've been playing well with Tyrann Mathieu. We mentioned Dirty Dan. Charvarius Ward has been a pleasant surprise. And make Ryan Tannehill beat you. And if it's Ryan Tannehill versus Patrick Mahomes, I think you know who we all are betting on.
I wonder, offensively, do the Chiefs plan on leaning much on Sammy Watkins? He had, what, two catches, one rushing attempt Sunday. The former Buffalo Bill, he doesn't seem to have made much of a mark on Kansas City, but you always feel like he's capable of doing more.
He's a guy that is such an oddball to figure out, because he'll have these games, and I'm sure you guys experienced this a little bit when he was in Buffalo, where you say, this is a world-class, number one wide receiver, and then he'll disappear for five or six games, or he'll get an injury. And it's that kind of frustration that has followed him his whole career, and then all of a sudden you get to training camp, and Sammy's telling the media, hey, I'm in the best shape of my life, this is finally going to be the year you can rely on me, and he really wasn't a huge factor for the Chiefs. So, I think they go with their guys, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. If they're taken away, Damian Williams has been good while he's been healthy this year. Sammy's a guy who can make a good big play here and there, but again, I don't think he's going to be necessarily the reason you advance to the Super Bowl.
I was going to ask you as well, one of the things that we noticed in the game against the Houston Texans is Travis Kelce. You mentioned it. One of the things that I thought was intriguing, no question, Pat Mahomes, he'll deliver the ball a lot. We saw a couple of passes where he's almost past the line of scrimmage, the red zone targets, and the Kelce, his ability to catch the ball low and catch the ball in a flick from Pat Mahomes, his availability is really unprecedented, and particularly with a guy like Mahomes who is really able to deliver the ball in any kind of arm plane or delivery system you want to use, Mahomes gets him the ball. Kelce was really good in the Texans game, I thought, at catching balls low and away from defenders, moving fast across the formation, and then, like we saw in the couple of touchdowns, that where he's just outside or at the goal line, kind of catching it, knowing he's going to accept contact. Kelce seems like he and Mahomes have really figured it out of how he is always available and ready, and Mahomes is maybe the only quarterback who would be able to find a guy like that.
Yeah, that's an under-talked about part of this game where at the goal line, Travis Kelce was making some tough catches. You mentioned the ball was a little bit lower, but he does have that rapport with Patrick Mahomes, and this is an offense that has struggled in the red zone toward the end of the season, so that was huge to see where you had the seven touchdowns in the game where they just couldn't be stopped. Travis Kelce last year was held to under 50 yards in the AFC title game against the Patriots, and he goes on to the Dan Patrick Show after the Super Bowl, and he talks about how we weren't ready for the physicality. And you could see at the beginning of this game, he has this really bad drop on third down during the 24-0 run, and you're like, oh no, this is another game where he's going to disappear a little bit. You've been waiting for this signature playoff game, I think, for a long time from Travis Kelce, and you certainly got it. I mean, 10 catches, more than 100 yards, to three touchdowns, and just that reliable guy for Patrick Mahomes when you needed him, because people are going to try to take away Tyreek Hill, despite his size. I mean, he reminds me of Sean Smith. I think he's one of the better receivers in the league. But if he is taken for, that's going to leave room for Travis Kelce to do what he does in the middle of the field, especially with the offensive play calling that Andy Reid and the creativity that he showcases. So Kelce really responded exactly when the Chiefs needed him. And I anticipate for that to continue this week. Again, he is dealing with a knee issue. He is dealing with a hamstring issue. But the good thing is, after the game, he told the media he has a week to get ready, so there's no way he's missing any part of this AFC title game.
Live on the line with the host of the Chiefs pre- and post-game shows, Pete Sweeney, joins us. Hey, Pete, let me ask you about assistant coach Steve Spagnuolo, who I think it was this is his first year there, right? He replaced Bob Sutton as the defense coordinator this year, or was it a year ago?
No, that was this year, yep.
What difference has he made? Because clearly the Chiefs, especially second half of the season, clearly the Chiefs are a much better defensive team than they were a year ago, right?
Oh, no doubt about it. And this was something that Steve Spagnuolo and really Andy Reid said all year, because defense was struggling in the first half of the year, continued sort of from last year. Derrick Henry had a huge game against the Chiefs early on, you know, in the middle of the season, and that was after that game was really the turning point. And it was Steve Spagnuolo continuing to stick to the system. And you talk to a lot of these guys and you try to look for similarities in what they tell you. And the thing they said is that the system finally clicked. And good on the Chiefs and good on Steve Spagnuolo for not giving up on them. Spagnuolo highlights Tyrann Mathieu and Anthony Hitchens as the guys who communicate and get everyone set in place. And I just commend Tyrann Mathieu in that addition as well, because he's tend to brought up the entire team. Juan Thornhill was a project of his. Juan Thornhill is, of course, out of the playoffs with the torn ACL, but he played out of his mind toward the end of the season. Some of these other younger players in the secondary, I mentioned Charvarius Ward, Bashad Breland, have been playing, I think, better because of Matthew being there, having confidence in these guys, getting them in the right position, building them up. He says things like championship swagger that has now carried over to the offense and has really the entire team feeling well. So I think if there's two people to compliment and to credit for the defensive turnaround, it's Steve Spagnuolo and Tyrann Mathieu. And a little bit further than that, Brett Veach for bringing in Mathieu and Frank Clark, who have really played, and I mentioned this on Twitter after the game, they play hard even after they're in their first year signing major contracts. And I just think that's rare in the NFL. And really what's even more rare is to go from the worst defense in the league to the end of the season, toward the end of the stretch and into the playoffs, as one of the better units in the league. It's really hard to overturn a defense that completely in a year's time, and the Chiefs have managed to do so. Let's see if they continue it against, as you guys said, one of the more unique offenses on Sunday.
Well, despite the Chiefs being in the playoffs and having one of the most recognizable quarterbacks in the league, a lot of people look and see the face of their franchise as their head coach, Andy Reid. We've seen him for a lot of years. He's been an extremely good coach, and he calls the plays for this offense that's so high-flying. I just got to ask you, given what happened through 2018 when Pat Mahomes was the MVP and through this year when he, you know, struggled a little bit with injury, but how has this offense evolved, or has it evolved at all? Is it kind of the same that we saw at the beginning of this season? Pat Mahomes kind of suffered through injuries. Has he had to change? What are we looking at in this Chiefs offense this year that may be different than what we saw in the championship game a year ago?
Yeah, quick note on Andy Reid. You mentioned he's the face of the Chiefs. I had a friend one time who works through for the team and along with these guys. He told me Andy Reid tried to get away and went to a faraway cruise or something, another country. They speak a different language. He said, finally, I'm not going to be able to be recognized. And the guy went crazy. He goes, head football coach. So Andy Reid can't go anywhere without getting recognized. Right. That's why he's the face of the Chiefs. But you're right. The offense looked a little bit different this year, and I think it was because of Patrick Mahomes' injuries. As the year was going on, I suspected, okay, well, maybe they're missing that Kareem Hunt guy. I don't necessarily blame the Chiefs for releasing him at the time. There was all that muddled situation. But on the field, I thought they dearly missed him. I think they were missing that in Damian Williams, and not to say that Williams is as talented as Kareem Hunt, but he is a good enough player where the Hunt and the loss of Hunt is not going to make as much of a difference. And the Chiefs were missing Williams. He finally gets healthy toward the end of the season. I think that made an impact. And people forget, Patrick Mahomes had this ankle issue that he was playing with at the beginning of the year, and I think that really changed what he can do. He does offer that dual threat, maybe not to the extent of a Deshaun Watson or Lamar Jackson, but that is part of his game. And I think he lost that, and I think he lost the confidence in maybe stepping up in the pocket early on this season. The dislocated kneecap made him rest the left ankle, and so he came back a little bit more fresh. Then he has an injury to his throwing hand. Finally, toward the end of the season, he started to feel right. I asked him, I think it was about week 15 or week 16, I said, Pat, do you really feel like you've gotten healthier as the year has gone on? I know that's unique. And he admitted, yes. He's like, I feel the best. I feel the best right now than I did maybe by week one, you know, and it took that long. And I think you finally saw that result in this playoff game where he sort of reminded everybody, I am the best quarterback. And I've said this too, and of course, I understand I'm Kansas City friendly, but in 24 hours, we all went from being in love with Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson and saying, who is the best quarterback in the league, to knowing officially, because Lamar Jackson goes out, and then all of a sudden, Patrick Mahomes goes and outduels Deshaun Watson with 5 touchdowns, becomes the youngest player to throw 5 touchdowns in a playoff game, and you really got that confidence back in Mahomes that it says, okay, your guys are right. He is the guy.
Last thing I got for you, Pete, is this the best chance, maybe the last chance for the Chiefs to finally get Andy Reid a Super Bowl win? That'll be a big topic next week if they win on Sunday.
I think this is it. I mean, they are favored by Vegas standards, and I had a colleague share this with me, and I thought it was fitting. You know, we're all March Madness fans. I know I have a lot of friends in Buffalo, went to school in New York, and so I know everyone's a big sports fan up there. We love March Madness. This, to me, is like this big school having a scare by a small school where all of a sudden, they may lose, and then in the second half they come back, and whether it be Kansas or Duke, they end up winning and going further in the tournament, and I think that was the scare for the Chiefs. They're a better team. They're favored by 7 points against the Titans. I think they take care of that game. And then if the offense is playing this well, I don't know who in the NFC could beat them as long as they stay healthy. And so I think this is the year that Andy Reid finally gets that Super Bowl, and I think he stays. And I think it's because of how good Patrick Mahomes is and how young he is. And if you could put two or three Super Bowls together, let's say in the next 5 or 6 years, again, way, way easier said than done, but who knows if you have the quarterback, then I think Andy Reid starts turning his attention maybe even to Bill Belichick. Like, I tend to think he's not even close to being done, especially if he is able to lock up a Super Bowl or two in the next 5 years. And people don't even realize this because they don't, you know, once you get to a certain age, it's hard to tell how old people are. Andy Reid is 6 or 7 years younger than Bill Belichick. So I think if he sees the quarterback and thinks that, okay, maybe I can build this, he believes in the history. He loves the Hall of Fame. He always talks about how certain people should be in the Hall of Fame. I think he wants to go down as the best coach in NFL history. And at age 60, 61, I think he still thinks that that's feasible, especially now with this quarterback. So, even with the Super Bowl, I don't know if he's even close to being done.
That leads to my next question. Can the Chiefs keep it together? Certainly Mahomes gives them that ability to always have elite quarterback play. What will this Chiefs roster look like in, say, 5 years? Will they be doing it the same way they are, or is it going to have to evolve pretty quickly due to the economics of the NFL?
No, you bring up a great point. It's going to have to evolve very quickly as early as next year. This is the last year of Patrick Mahomes' rookie contract. The reports that are out there saying that he's going to become the $200 million man. So let's see how this offense looks next year. It is a point to know. I think one of the things you see is our good friend, mutual friend, Sammy Watkins, probably won't be on this team next year. How do they replace that? Is Mecole Hardman ready to take that? Do they go and draft a wide receiver again high, given this is a wide receiver-friendly draft? This offense will look a lot different. This is the last chance that this unit with all these pieces is going to have a chance to do it, and really their best chance maybe even for a while, unless Patrick Mahomes tends to work on his deal and realizes he needs pieces. I think he should still take his money, but there are creative things you could do to make sure that you can still be a championship-caliber team. And the Chiefs have said, and GM Brett Beach has said, that they've been preparing for this moment, this contract, for a very long time. So you would think that this type of success would be sustainable. Again, remains to be seen. The thing is, and I bring this up to Chiefs fans on Kansas City Radio, we went into this year after last year thinking it's going to be the Chiefs and the Patriots again. We just thought it would, these two teams. And then all of a sudden, your biggest threat, I guess he's out of the playoffs now, became Lamar Jackson, this very talented Ravens team. Who's going to be that team next year? So here you have it right in front of you. You have two wins to get it done. This year, you have to get it done.
Hey, Pete, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it today. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, thank you for the invitation on the show.
Thanks.
Appreciate it, Pete.
Pete Sweeney, lead Chiefs writer at SB Nation's Arrowhead Pride, host of the Chiefs pre- and post-game shows at 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. I got it. You know, he's asking who's going to be next year. Why not us?
Right?
Why not the Bills?
Yeah.
Very good point, though. And you don't think – you like to think the teams would have the luxury of not thinking about that, but you can't. You asked a good question, and he's clearly given it some thought. This is their chance right now, two games away from a Super Bowl championship, two wins away. Their number one rival, Baltimore's been knocked out. This is their chance to get it this year. They have to think that way, especially with Mahomes' contract coming up.
Yeah, and there's no – and, you know, we kind of – you're right, why not us? It's kind of an old thing. Even the Titans are using it this year. Why not us? How great – you know, and then the Houston Texans with J.J. Watt, how great do you want to be? You have no idea how the landscape of the league, let alone the AFC conference, is going to shift in the next 8 months. And that's why, you know, we lament your team, you know, the Bills, not being at this stage of the playoff. You don't know what's going to happen. You need to hit the, you know, you swing the fence. And the Chiefs are the perfect example of that. This is, you know, this is where they've got to really get it done, because they're going to have to pay Patrick Mahomes and make him the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League. That's it. He has to be the highest paid guy in the league. He's got the newest contract, and he's put together the best couple of years, and he may win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he's at very least won the MVP and been to two straight conference championships. He hits the home run. So how are the Chiefs going to handle that economically and with their roster? That's for 3 months from now, because they need to win two games.
I'm laughing because it seems like every interview we do, we always go back to – That's why it was important for the Bills to advance in the playoffs. You know what I mean? You can't get around that. Yeah. We're 10 days removed from that loss in Houston, and you cannot get around it. It was a big loss, a costly loss. Mm. But we do think there's better times ahead. We're back to talk more about the Bills. Want to know, of the remaining four playoff teams, which of them do you want the Bills to resemble? Got phone lines open. Got the tweet sheet open. Give us a call or send in a tweet or vote in the Twitter poll. 803-0550, the number. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. It's One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health, from One Bills Drive, from the Seneca Studio here. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, that's the name of the show. John Murphy with Steve Tasker. We're here every day from noon to 3 p.m. Steve, you're going to the hockey tonight. Sabres and the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. What do you think?
Well, just win, man. Just win. Just want to see a good
You're frustrated
game.
By the hockey team? I am.
No, I'm not frustrated by it.
No?
No, I'm good. I like them.
You like them?
It's hard to get anything done in the league where nobody's got any room to move, and that's a problem. They can't, you know, so you just kind of got to ride it out.
What do you mean nobody's got room to move?
Well, all the other teams, everybody's up against the cap, so if they bring a guy in, they've got to have the exact same kind of value going out. So that kind of stymies everybody from making moves. At least too many teams are in that mode, and then the teams that aren't don't have what you need. So, I don't know.
So you're happy with the way they are? I'm not.
It is hockey. So
your expectations are low? What are you saying?
I like to watch hockey. Okay. And I like that I can go down there and watch. I just enjoy it. And I know it. I know what I'm looking at. I don't know what I'm looking at. Maybe that's why I'm enjoying it so much. But I like it. I like going down there. I like the arena. I like the atmosphere.
Arena.
Me and Thurm are going tonight.
Yeah.
We're going to go together. So, you know, it's a great atmosphere. I like it. I like being out in Buffalo. And our team can win on any given night, and they can also get beat by a touchdown. So, you know.
Okay.
I got to go find out.
All right.
I'm good with it. I like them. They're my team.
Okay. All right. I'm not trying to talk you out of it. Go. Have fun. Knock yourself out. Four teams left in the playoffs this year. Who do you want the Bills to resemble, if any of them? Give us a call, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Send in a tweet. We'll read it on the tweet sheet. Let's do a couple of those. The tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. Nate writes this in: the Chiefs do not have a great run game. They just know how to throw the ball. I'd rather have a better all-round offense like the Niners, who we kind of resemble the most as far as run and pass and good defense. Pretty good point by Nate. Gus tweets this in: None. He doesn't want the Bills to resemble any of them. He says, I like to see the Bills develop an identity of their own, unique, unpredictable, and consistent every week. Okay.
It's a good spot to be in.
Yeah, that'd be good to develop your own identity, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
And I think from Tiffany, she has a different take on it. She goes, I like to see a version of how the Steelers won with a young Ben Roethlisberger, a stout running attack that took the pressure off him, allowing him to take what the defense gave him in the passing game. Additionally, they played great defense, which we already do at a high level. One of the things that you got to remember about that old Steelers team where Ben Roethlisberger was young is Ben didn't know what he was doing. And he was so big, he would shrug off the pressure. And a lot of the games that the Steelers won were won with big plays that were made off the page with Mike Wallace, maybe a young Antonio Brown or somebody, you know, all the guys they had back then, Hines Ward, guys that would do things off the page. After Big Ben would run out of the pocket when the pressure got to him, he would just play schoolyard football. And they made enough big plays to win with that defense. And that's, you know, so it wasn't really Big Ben the way we see him these days. It was more of kind of a little bit more like Josh Allen, I got to tell you, getting outside the pocket and making something happen.
Let's take a phone call on this topic. MJ on the line. Hello, MJ.
Frank.
Hi, Frank.
How you doing?
Good.
So I'm analyzing these games. I'm watching these games this weekend, and the playoffs are a different football. It's just a different breed of football. I mean, and when I was watching a game with the Titans Saturday, I'm thinking about the Giants versus the Bills in the first Super Bowl. The Bills scored 19 points in that game, if I'm not mistaken. And a big running back like this guy, Henry, my goodness gracious, they couldn't stop him. It became obvious that they just could not stop this guy. And going into the game, after the Bills beat the Raiders 51-3 or whatever, no one thought the Giants had a chance, right? They had Hostetler was the quarterback, backup quarterback, which is similar to me as far as Tannehill goes. And everyone thought the Bills were just going to destroy this team, but these games take on a life of their own, and I like the way the Titans play. I like the way that Henry is just a man among boys, and I think there might be some surprise this weekend. Also, Reed, I think there's a lot of pressure on Reed to win this conference championship. He's never won a Super Bowl. Last year they lost the conference championship at home, and now this year they had another shot at it. So
you get two straight at home. That's big.
Yeah, they lost to the Patriots last year at home, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
The second straight conference championship game at home. Can they go 0-2 of those games? I kind of agree with you on that one. I think there is pressure on Andy Reid. I disagree with you. Look, I think the Titans are up against it this week. I don't think they can compete when Kansas City gets it rolling, and it looks like with 51 points in the bag Sunday, it looks like Kansas City's offense is rolling right now.
Yeah.
Steve.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, Frank. I see the similarities. There are some differences that you need to take into account as well. I mean, I get the backup quarterback and the big time running game and the Giants and the Bills and all that, but and I get it. All these games are different, but this Chiefs team at home, it's a little different than a Super Bowl in a neutral site. And you know, I don't know. I it's hard for me to see the Chiefs being kept off the board enough. And we had Kyle Brandt on, and I think he's right. I think the way this game begins in the first quarter is going to dictate how it goes. And I cannot see Tennessee winning by double digits. I mean, can you see the Tennessee Titans win 35-3? No. I kind of can see the Chiefs winning that way, but I can't even conjure up a scenario where the Titans play defense to the extent that they can shut Kansas City down to even 10 points or below. So maybe it can happen, and certainly we've seen stranger things, but I would say more so that if the Titans don't get off to a great start and they can't figure out how to score points early, I think this could be another 20-point win by the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hey, time now for NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. This is the second favorite feature of our producer, Jay Harris. He loves What's for Lunch. We did that last hour. Now we're doing NFL True or False. It's Keep the Producer Happy show. True or False, the Patriots should say goodbye to Tom Brady. That was a story up on NFL Network this week. The NFL is a What Have You Done For Me Lately league. Bill Belichick cannot let nostalgia get in the way of his team-building process, they write. They write, he allowed other Patriots legends, Ty Law, Willie McGinnis, Mike Vrabel, Vince Wilfork, and others, to walk out the door in the past. He should give 42-year-old Tom Brady the same treatment as a rapidly declining player near the end of his storied career. Look, Ty Law, Willie McGinnis, Mike Vrabel, Vince Wilfork, good players, really good players. They're not Tom Brady. They're not Tom Brady. I'm going to say false. Maybe they should let Tom Brady go, but it's not something they have to do. I think they got to make a decision here. But I don't think they're going to find a quarterback that is his equal next year. Even Tom Brady of this past year. I know his performance has fallen off. They still were pretty good. Won a ton of games this year. I would say false to that.
I do too. You know, say goodbye to, you're not going to cut Tom Brady. Are you kidding me? And he's placed cheap. He's a cheap starting quarterback. They won 12 games this year. Why are you going to get rid of that guy? That's crazy talk. I'm with you. That's false. You hang on to Tom Brady as long as he wants to play. They're 12-4 with him at the quarterback position this year. Yeah, their offense stunk, but he had, you know, a battered up Julian Edelman. Antonio Brown was there for a week. Josh Gordon was there for a couple of weeks, and then they had N'Keal Harry, who is a very talented kid who started to play good at the end of the season, but he was, you know, he was off the radar for the first half, three quarters of the season. Now, bring him back, give him some weapons, and he'll play as good as you need him to play, I think.
All right, let's go to this one. True or false? Each team should have at least one possession in overtime, a post that was up on Yahoo.com. Each team, they write, must get possession or at least have the ball kicked to them before the game can end. If the first team to receive scores a touchdown or field goal, then they have to kick off to the other team. They could do an onside kick. You know the way it works now. Each team gets an opportunity to possess unless the opening team, the team that gets it first, scores a touchdown. If they don't, the other team gets an opportunity to possess. I wouldn't fool around with the overtime rules.
Nah.
I wouldn't fool around with it. I'm going to say false.
The only time you hear complaints about the overtime rules is when you're in the middle of a great game and it ends. Then everybody's mad that either one team didn't get an extra opportunity or time to rebut or didn't get a chance to answer or whatever. Anytime a team scores a touchdown for any reason, everybody's all mad. Because a great game had to end and you wanted to see more of it. No, the rules are fine.
Leave the rules alone. Finally, NFL true or false. Old school physical mentality is the wrong approach for new head coaches. Joe Judge got this started, new head coach of the New York Giants. He said, I'm all about an old school physical mentality. It's the wrong approach for new head coaches. No, it varies team to team, and it should. Who do you got on your roster? That's the mentality you should have. Do you have a team that is more dynamic, maybe a team that throws it more, maybe a team that can score quickly? Then you should be about that. Look, you're always going to want to be physical, right? Everybody wants to be physical. But I don't think you want to box yourself in by saying I'm an old-school physical mentality coach. No, I got false on that one too, Steve.
You can say what you want at your opening press conference.
I was going to add that too. It doesn't matter what you say.
What are you going to say? He can say whatever he wants. I'm fine. Good. That's true. You can be that, because when you go up there and all of a sudden you're throwing it 50 times a game and you're spread all over the field and you never run the ball, you'll still claim that you're exactly the kind of team you want to be. So whatever you say at your opening press conference, good for you.
Did you enjoy true or false today? I don't get the feeling you did.
It was an easy one, I thought.
Okay.
I didn't have too much angst over which side I was going to take in any of those questions.
NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. Squeezing a call here from Randy in Amherst. Hello, Randy.
How you doing today, guys?
Good.
One thing I'd take away from all, maybe like three or four of those teams that are left. Baltimore has the two good tight end formation offense where they can either run the ball or, you know, throw to those big tight ends.
They're not left now. They're gone. You know that.
No, I know that. Or I'm sorry, but I mean, I would take away from that team, from the Bills, maybe going with the two tight end offense. And then Kansas City's got speed burners all over the place, so they can, someone else can be the hero, you know, in the playoffs for that team. And then, like, Green Bay's got Aaron Rodgers used to throw the ball like 50 times a game. Now he's got, like, you know, a running back that can actually run. So, I mean, the balance is good there, you know, for the Packers.
Yeah, and that's the thing about the Packers that impresses me is the balance, the fact that they can run the ball now this year, and they can still throw the ball as well. They seem to have reloaded, you know, with weaponry around Aaron Rodgers this year, and I'm impressed by that. They've had, you know, they lost Mike McCarthy, they let him go, and they changed coaches, but I'm impressed that when a team can reload with essentially the same quarterback
on the fly, in this case,
and on the fly, and they never really had that much of a drop-off, really. I think that's impressive.
It's interesting, too, and I don't know – I know that there was a bad split up between, well, a perceived bad split up between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, and you know they never really had that running game to do it. And I don't know how much Matt LaFleur had to do with sitting Aaron Rodgers down and telling him, "Listen, you got to be willing to hand it off in situations. We're going to have to run the ball and make a concerted effort to do it, even if we're only getting a yard here and a yard there. We still have to continue to do that." In order to make you more effective and win games. And I think maybe that selling job was probably Matt LaFleur's best move as head coach this year. And it wasn't as much about the personnel that they added or subtracted or their philosophy. It was about selling that kind of offense to a guy who's one of the most elite throwers we've seen. Maybe that was why Matt LaFleur is in the NFC Championship game, was his selling job to Aaron Rodgers about a philosophy of running game.
Yep. All right, we got a break here. We're coming back with more. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health, live from the Seneca Studios. Seneca Resorts and Casinos, nothing comes close. Okay, what have we learned from today's show? Sponsored by Skyworks, the official construction equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills. Our buddy Kyle Brandt was on the show at 1 o'clock today. He promised they're going to continue to run recreations of Music City Miracle until forever, I guess, on his show, Good Morning Football. But we asked him which playoff team he wants the Bills to resemble. He had an interesting answer. Here's Kyle Brandt.
I go to the 49ers, and I'll tell you why. Really young, very smart head coach, and really well drafted, especially on defense. Their defense is great, and they nailed their draft picks. All the talk this week with Aaron Rodgers going back to the Bay Area is going to be a lot about how he fell in the first round, yada, yada. We've heard it a million times. That's not the first rounder to concern yourself with. It's the Solomon Thomas and Nick Bosa and DeForest Buckner. They destroyed the Vikings because they destroyed draft day. And that is how you do it. And they went out and they got their quarterback. If I wanted to be a team, I look at the Niners, another team that just sat on a bye, got a great defense, got a young coach, and it's attainable.
I think it's a good point about which team the Bills should emulate going in the playoffs. Also today, Pete Sweeney joined us from the Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network, pregame, postgame host, does other stuff around the Chiefs. He was asked if Travis Kelce has been reliable during the playoffs for the Chiefs.
Travis Kelce last year was held to under 50 yards in the AFC title game against the Patriots, and he goes on to the Dan Patrick Show after the Super Bowl, and he talks about how we weren't ready for the physicality. And you could see at the beginning of this game, he has this really bad drop on third down during the 24-0 run. And you're like, oh, no, this is another game where he's going to disappear a little bit. You've been waiting for this signature playoff game, I think, for a long time from Travis Kelce. And you certainly got it. I mean, 10 catches, more than 100 yards to 3 touchdowns. And just that reliable guy for Patrick Mahomes when you needed him.
There you go. It's Pete Sweeney on Travis Kelce. Our Twitter poll today was interesting. See, we both said we liked it, and it's been good. It's been good. It's got a good conversation going. The question on Twitter today was, of the four remaining playoff teams, which team do you want the Bills to resemble? 42%. How about this? You never see this.
I know.
42% say Chiefs. 42% say 49ers. 10% say the Titans, 6% say the Packers. You never see a tie in the Twitter poll. That's
nope.
Good.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the number one seed in the NFC is somebody they picked, and then the Chiefs, who scored 51 in the last game, is another one. It's easy to see why, you know, even if we were prisoners of the moment, why you pick those two. Both of them are built. Like we said, though, the Chiefs may have a hard time keeping the window open, but the Niners look like they're just getting started.
Yeah. I think the Chiefs look like that, too, the Chiefs with their offense. We'll see. We'll talk more about this game coming up in the next couple of days. Tomorrow's show is going to be a good one. We'll be joined by a couple of guests. Field Yates from ESPN joins us tomorrow, and Matt Bowen from NFL Matchup on ESPN tomorrow as well. Production assistants George Blass, Jeff Colton, Nick Thomas, Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. We're real happy to be back in our studio. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studios in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.